Okay, Parshas Emor. So the Rabbeinu Bachai begins with the Pasuk in Mishlei, in Perek Chavdal, Pasuk Chavav, Sfasayim, Yishak, Meshiv Dvarim Nechochim. Lips, kissed, someone who can say, give good answers, good responses. So Rabbeinu Bachai says it doesn't mean you kiss the lips of someone who gives good responses. That's not what it means. Rather, it means that people are very open to what someone said. Everyone, if someone knows that this person always has the right responses, so people listen to what they say. If they have good things to say, people are quick to listen, as if the speaker was kissing them, their lips. But the idea, it just means that people are very open to what the person says, to what comes out of their lips. They're very open to it. That's Pashup Shah. But he says, al derech ha-kabbalah, that it refers to someone who's completely connected to Chachma Elyona. And that's like we say, Yishakeni Minashikos Pihu. We're talking about the Rabbeinu Shalom. It means just like Nishika in Olam Hazeh is a dveikus, an attachment of the body. So Nishika in the spiritual sense is a sichliyastika attachment. It means someone who's in their seichel, in their intellect, in their mind, in their soul, completely dovak, attached to God all day long in Hashem's Torah, in Chachma Elyona, as he calls it. So then he gets Neshika. That's what time Yishak. What's this Neshika? He says, well, Misas Neshika. Someone who's completely connected to Hashem, when they died, they're in that, when they go to die, they're in that status of complete dveikus, so they get this Misas Neshika, which is this dveikus, a very special way of dying that only very few people in history ever got. And he lists who those people are. Some of them you may have known, and some of them you may not have. So Moshe, Aaron, Miriam, I think, are pretty famous because it's in Rashi and Chumash that Moshe, Aaron's the first one, I believe, that died with Mises Neshika. That's again this special kind of death where he laid on his bed, he closed his eyes, and he was gone. And it's called the special Mises Neshika. There was no Malach HaMavos involved. It's a Vekas Bashem, and the soul leaves. So Moshe, Aaron, Miriam died in this special way, but so did Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. That's also a Gemara. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, it says, Bakol Mikol Kol, they didn't lack any kavod, that they also died with Mises Neshika. And I didn't know this. Anyway, he says, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, Rabbi Nanasi also died with Mises Neshika. Because it's the Yerushalmi says, Kadamach Rabbi Yehuda Nesiyah, Hichriz Rabbi Yane. When Rabbi Yehuda died, Rabbi Yane announced, Ein Kahuna Hayom. There's no Kahuna. What does that mean? Kohanim don't have to worry about being next to Rabbi Yehuda Anasi. Why? Because someone who dies with Mises Neshika, says Rabbeinu Bachai, there's no Tumas Meis. No Tumas Meis at all. This is a Machlokas Rishonim. Different Rishonim hold different things about this. There's Tosus, there's Rabbeinu Tam, I think, who holds like this, Ramban. Not everyone agrees to this, but that's what Rabbeinu Bachai says anyway, that someone who dies with Mises Neshika, there's no Tumas Meis. Rabbeinu Bachai says the Koach HaMashchis causes the Tumas Meis. There's no Yetzahar, if there's no Malach HaMavos, whatever, there's no Tumas Meis. And therefore, that's why Rabbi Yana exclaimed when Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi died, Ein Kahuna Hayom, meaning the Kohanim don't need to worry about this. That was because he died by Mises Neshika. But normally, Kohanim do need to worry about Tumas Meis, and that's why he's talking about this here. That's the beginning of the Parsha, that Kohanim have to stay away from Tumas Meis. And it's only men Kohanim that need to worry about this, women, daughter of a Kohenes, is allowed to be Matam in the Mesa, as he explained in Parshas Tzav, because since women regari Misa la'olam, so for meaning at the beginning of time, with Chava, therefore they don't have the special dinim of Kohuna. Rabbeinu Bachai asks, as he does often, about the smichas of the psukim, meaning the last pasuk of Kedoshim, discusses the Ov and the Yidoni. Those are speaking to people who, through some kind of magic, were able to talk to the dead and find out the future. So that's the last pasuk of Kedoshim, not to do that. And the first Psukim of Emor about the Kohen. What's the connection? So he brings from a Medrash that this is all a remez to Shaul. Shaul killed out Nov Ir HaKohanim and also went to an Ov and Yedoni. So it's connected him, it's a remez to him, it's talking to him in some way. And it brings this Medrash that Hashem showed, Rabbeinu Bechai brings a Medrash that Hashem was showing Moshe all of the different generations that would come, Dor Dor B'Dorshav. And Moshe saw that the first king of the Jewish people would be killed. Shaul was killed, was stabbed. He died by sword. I guess saying he stabbed, I mean he stabbed himself, but whatever it is, he died through the sword. So the Moshe said, how could it be that the first king of the Jewish people should have to die like that? So Hashem said to Moshe, Emor al HaKohanim. That's what it says. I mean, it's another tell it to the Kohanim. In other words, he killed out he asked the Yov, he went to Yov and Yidoni, and he killed out all the Kohanim. So that's why it had to happen to him. Anyway, that's what the Medrash says about this Michas of the Psukim that's going on, Shaul. Okay, next. Rabbeinu Bechai points out something interesting. It says, the Emo al Aviv, right? That there are certain people that if they die, even a Kohen is supposed to be metame to them. So it says, "Kim l'sheiro hakarov elav le'imo ula'aviv." It says mother first, ula'aviv, right? We know by kibud aveim and mor aveim, the order was very important. So here we have, when it's talking to the regular Kohen is supposed to be metame to his imo ula'aviv, mother first, father second. Then we talk about the Kohen Gadol, that he's not supposed to be metame to his family. It says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, "Al kol nafshos meis liyavo la'aviv ule'imo lo yitama." So there it says that it puts father first. When it's saying don't be metame, it puts father first, mother second. So Rabbeinu Bechai explains that at least one of his pshatim, the chiddush here is that your father is. It's less obvious who your father is, right? Your mother. It's clear, you came out of the mother's stomach, everybody knows who your mother is. Father is always not as clear who the father is. So therefore, when it's telling you that you should be metame to someone, that tells you mother first, not only mother, even father. That's why it's second. Mother is more pashut, and not only mother, even father. Like zu, how's it go? lo zu afsu. And then when it's telling you not to be the Kohen Gadol should be metame, so it's saying you shouldn't be metame to the father and even not to the mother. So in other words, the chiddush, the second one is always the chiddush. When you should be metame, it's to your mother and even to your father, which is more of a chiddush. And when you shouldn't be metame, not to your father and not even to your mother. Okay, nice pshat. So we find by the Kohen Gadol that he's not allowed to marry an almana. A normal Kohen is a Kohen Gadol cannot marry an almana. So the way he explains it is that he's, and others say this as well, that he has to be, because he needs someone who is, Chinuch says this as well, he can't marry an almana because he needs someone who it's her first husband, so that she should be nimshach acharov, that her machshavta should be rakbo, her thought should be only him and not to anyone else, and nimshach es ladait l'ritzono. Okay. He also brings a medrash that the Kohen Gadol must be greater in five ways. He has to be greater in noi, beauty, koach, strength, osher, riches, chachma, and kavod, wisdom and honor. And if he's not, they ought to make him. They have to make him richer, as it brings the story that they did. Okay, anyway, I want to go on to the next thing is ba'artzachem lo sasu. Pasuk says that you're not allowed to make an animal into a sris. You can't make an animal not be able to have children. And this comes from the words of Ba'artzachem lo sa'asu. Ba'artzachem does not mean only in Israel. It's not coming to teach in Israel. It's anywhere. So Rabbeinu Bechai says, rather, it is just to tell you any animal, even a tummy animal, you can't make it into a... you can't neuter your pets. So anyway, so what he wants to know is, what do you see from those words, lo sa'asu, that it means don't make them into a stress? I mean, we know the beginning of the pasuk is saying about animals that can't have children, and don't do that in your land. But he says it's also the word lo sasu also means that don't lo sasu means don't make them into a sris directly, because asiya is to make something. So he says, it sounds to me like a lashon sagi nahar. Here it's using sasu as the opposite. Don't make it into a sasu, which means something that can't have kids. Again, like a lashon of sagi nahar, when you mean the opposite of what you say. And here's what he brings. That's what he says. He brings another pasuk where he says that sounds like that. But what's fascinating is in Bereishis we had that it says that Cham, Noach woke up after he was drunk and saw Asher Asa Lo B'no HaKatan, which Chazal says means he made Noach into a sris. That's what Chazal darshan, that Cham made Noach into a sris, so he shouldn't have any more children. And the pasuk says Noach figured out Asher Asa Lo No, I caught them. So that's beautiful. Rabbi Nachman says that asa means to make it into a sris. That's what chazav. You see from here, va'artzachem lo sasu means don't make someone into a sris. That's how Chazal knew when it said asher asa lo b'no akatan, that it meant that Cham made Noach into a sris. Because asa can also mean the opposite of asa, which means someone who can't be osa and have kids. Okay. Now there's this other thing he said. We took him go on to say that you'll bring a carbon char al chesav v'ayz ki valed, that you have to wait a week, because we know you have to wait, it has to go through a Shabbos. So char al chesav v'ayz ki valed, so why those animals? Rabbeinu Bachai says this in a few places, that Hashem likes, Hashem yivakesh esan yirdaf, Hashem wants as karbanos, the animals that are nirdaf, that are chased after, not the predators. The same is true for what's kosher and what's not kosher to eat. So for karbanos as well, Hashem wants the nirdaf, the things that are chased after. That's what Hashem likes as a karban, not the predators. But what's interesting is he brings a couple of examples of this, and comes from a medrash. It says in the list of examples is Hevel was nirdaf mipnei Kayin. Hevel was chased by Kayin. And what does it say? Be'isha Hashem el Hevel vel min chaso vel Kayin vel min chaso lo sha'a. So Hevel was the one that was being chased by Kayin. And you see Hashem liked the carbon of Hevel. So you see how Lokim Yivakesh is Hanirdaf, which just sounded interesting to me, because it's usually not the way we think of it. We think of it because Hevel brought a carbon and he was listened to. Therefore, Kayin ran after him and was trying to kill him. It almost sounds from this medrash that it wasn't in that order, that Kayin hated him anyway. Not sure if I read that right. You can look at it yourself. It's in the pasuk of Shor Chetzavayis Ki Valev. That's what it sounds like to me. Okay, next. The Karban Omer we talk about in this week's parasha. So the Omer, the way the Rabbeinu Bachai explains the mitzvah of bringing the Karban Omer and the mitzvah of the Karban of the Shtei HaLechem on Shavuos, he says is really one thing, in the sense that you bring the Karban Omer B'tchilas K'tzir Sa'orim, when it's the first time, when you first harvest the barley, that's what you bring to Hashem as a carbon, which happens Pesach time. And that 50 days later is Tchilas Ktzir Chitim, he says, right? That's from the verse. The beginning of the harvest of wheat comes 50 days later. And the whole point of both of these carbonos is to bring the first crops as a carbon to Hashem. We hope Bikurim starts then. That's the point of these. And the mincha, in other words, the mincha, like we, it's a machokas, but the mincha is the ikar, he says. The main ikar carbon is the mincha, which is this shtei halachim that we bring on Shavuos, and this carbon omer. So those are the first of the crop, because that's when they first start getting harvested. The Torah does not describe when Shavuos is exactly, in the sense it doesn't say Shavuos is on this date. Rather, it says 50 days after Pesach is Shavuos. That is because everything is, it comes from the Omer, and it's really one long holiday. Same, the Ramban famously says the same thing, that it is a Chol HaMoed, that the days between Pesach and Shavuos are one long holiday. They're really one long, the days in between are considered a Chol HaMoed. Okay, it also talks about, all the Moedim here are talked about, so another, the holiday of Rosh Hashanah. Torah says Zichron Trua, which is obviously, if you want to figure out from that what happens on Rosh Hashanah, you're not gonna. Rosh Hashanah, as we know, is a Yom Hadin. It's a day you blow the shofar. And it's not explicit in the pasuk that you should blow a shofar. It says blow it a toot. You know, the Trua, blow it with what? With Chatzotros, with a shofar, it doesn't say. Nor does it say that it's a Yom Hadin, which is amazing. So, Rabbi Abachai explains, he says that this is a yesod in our Torah, that a very important yesod, that the more unclear and hidden something is in the psukim, that means the more pnimi it is, the more lofty it is, and that's why the Torah doesn't want to talk about it in detail. The most famous example is that the Torah never talks about the Olam HaNeshamos. It only talks about if you do mitzvos, then you'll get good in this world. It doesn't talk about directly, you know, the Neshamos and Gehenim and Gan Eden and all this stuff. It doesn't talk about the Olam HaNeshamos. So that's the idea. The more lofty and high and spiritual and pnimiistic something is, the more it's going to be just a hint in the Torah. And his other examples are tefillin, which all it says is that you would never figure out what tefillin are if you didn't have a mesorah from Har Sinai. And tzitzis, to, you know, figure out from what the Torah says you're supposed to have what we have as tzitzis, you know, impossible. So it's because tzitzis are kenege shkula. Chazal tell us it's shkula kenege kol mitzvos. So the more lofty something is, the more it's going to be only hinted at. And then we get to Sukkos. Rabbeinu Bachai here has a very lengthy discussion about the reasons for the Dalet Minim, which are, of course, kedarko fascinating. So the Pashut Pshat is that they are, Sukkos is the day where we're nidon al hamayim. That's the day where we're judged on water. And the Dalet Minim are gedalim al mayim. They need water to drink, to survive more than other plants. Apparently, that's what he says. So, and this is what it says. So we bring the lulav and esrog on as Gemara says, we bring the lulav and esrog on Sukkos. So that should be a ratzon for us, the waters of the year that Hashem should paskin for Jewish people should have enough water. Okay, Baal Pi the Medrash, they're four minim and they are keneged. The esrog is keneged Avram, Medrash says. Why? So that's because the esrog is one. Avram was miyachid Hashem in the world, and dvarav asu peros. He was successful in bringing people to tachas kanfei Hashchina. So esrog is keneged Avram. Yitzchak is keneged halulav. It's called kapos tamarim, and we know Yitzchak was binded up, kapas, right? He was all bound up on the Akedah. Yaakov is keneged the Hadasim, which is covered in leaves, and he was mechusa babanim. And the Arav is keneged Yosef, because Aravas start out good and get dried up pretty fast. So Yosef started out fine, and then he became kamush, it says, when his father died, and then he died before the rest of his brothers, so he became Yavish. Okay, that's what the Midrash says, but it's fascinating to keep that in mind, especially in light of what I'm about to tell you. So again, the four, the way it goes is Esrog is Avram, Yitzchak is Lulav, Yaakov is Hadassim, and Arava is Yosef. So now, he also says, another Midrash, that they are connected to Dalet Malchios. The Esrog is connected Bavel, because Bavel is called in the Pasuk Zahav, and the Esrog is Koldish. The Lulav is keneged parasumadai. Again, I don't know if these midrashim are saying words that have a pnimius, but in their superficial thing, they're just giving you a superficial thing, but they really represent, in other words, if I tell you that the esrog represents bavel, it's not just because it happens to be gold, I assume that's just, it's telling you some superficial level, but there's a deeper level. So the esrog is keneged, that's obvious. The esrog is keneged bavel, the lulav is keneged madai. The reason it gives is because Haman was hung on a tree, and the lulav is long. Again, that's what I'm saying, there must be more another pneumistic reason as well. Anyway, hadasim are keneged yavan, because yavan has different groups. Hadassan has different groups, and Yavan was made up of different groups. As you know, the Greeks, as we know them as the Greeks, was, you know, a bunch of different, there was Alexander, Macedonian, and then the Seleucids, and the whatever, you know, it was broken up into a lot of different groups, the Greeks. So that's why there were different groups, just like Hadassah has different groups. And, that's the way I understand it, and the Arava is Keneged Edom. Why? Because an Arava, one of the rules of an Arava is that the stem has to be red, Edom is red, so or it's Nimshal to red, whatever it is, Edom is red, so the Arava is Keneged Edom. Well, I tell you that's interesting is because you put those together, that means the Arava, which is Keneged Yosef, is also Keneged Edom. We know Yosef is Sit Noshel Edom, right? It says as soon as the Pasuk says, Rashi brings, as soon as Yosef was born, Yaakov says, okay, I'm ready to go back home. He tells Laban, I'm ready to go back home as soon as he gives birth to Yosef, because Rashi brings, Yosef is Sit Noshel Esav. The Pasuk says that, Yaakov, I forget the exact lesson, Yaakov Keish, I think, and Yosef is Lahava, and Edom is Kash. Right, that Yaakov is a fire, and whatever, and Yosef is the flame, and Esav is straw. Because once Yosef is around, he can take care of Esav. So I would suggest to you that they go together, because if Edom is red is the color of Gevurah, and holding back and withholding. It's the Midas Adin. Red is always connected to Midas Adin. And Yosef held back as well. He also had a Midas Adin, but for good. He held back with Ashes Potiphar. So maybe that's why one's a tikkun of the other, at least in that idea. But also, we know that as the Rabbeinu Bachai brings, what I just told you is what I'm saying, not Rabbeinu Bachai. He just brings those two Midrashim. What Rabbeinu Bachai does bring is the Midrash we're all familiar with, that the Dalaminim represent different parts of the body, where the Eshrog is the heart, the Lulav is the spine, the Hadasim are the eyes, and the Arabos are the lips. That also works with that Midrash that it's Yosef, because Yosef was the one who was accused of Lashon Hara, and the Arabos are connected to the lips. One other thing he says is that two of the Dalaminim, the Torah describes exactly what they are. Only the Rabbeinu Bachai notices these things. Well, at least I don't, anyway. Two of the Arbaminim, the Torah tells you exactly what they are. Right? It says the Arvi Nachal. That's telling you what it is. And Kapos Tamarim. Those are pretty clear what they mean. Pre-Eitz Hadar is completely unclear. A nice fruit. I mean, it's Pashup Shad and Anaf Eitz Avos. Both of those are very unclear about which they are referring to. So two are clear and two are not clear. So there's Ne'alam V'Nigla, or I should say Nigla and Nister. He says so too, and they're Keneged Hashem, because the Lulav is Keneged the Shem Hashem, which is also Nigla and Nister. In what sense? The Shem Hashem is Yud Kei Vav Kei. If you spell them out, they all repeat themselves. The hey is hey hey, right? If you spell a hey, it's hey hey. So both two heys, two vavs, yud. Also, the vav and the dalad is a ten. So they're all also there's the hidden, and then there's the revealed, because the arba minim are connected to Shem Hashem as well. Okay. Then he brings about the sukkah. The sukkah, as we know, there's a machlokas tanaim, was the sukkahs that we sit in, the mitzvah to sit in the sukkah. Is it to remember that Hashem took us out in sukkos, or that he took us out in anani hakavos? Rabbi Bachai explains, if you hold like the Mount Barmer, that it's because he took us out in tents, so then it's to remember what? It's to remember that even with that, you know, all the men, women, and children, and cattle, and all this stuff, We were living out in the desert without any shelter. Hashem protected us and gave us everything we needed. If it means Anani HaKavod, then it's obviously what we're remembering, the Anani HaKavod. And that's, of course, the way we paskin. At least brought Shulchan Aruch, is to remember the Anani HaKavod. At the end of the parasha, we talk about the Mekalel. And there it says, there the Rabbeinu Bachai brings the following question. It says the Mekalel cursed Hashem. He was having a fight. This the one who eventually cursed the Ben Isha Yisraelis was fighting with the Isha Yisraeli, and he curses Hashem. So Rabbeinu Bachai asks, why did he curse Hashem? Why didn't he curse the other guy? Or if he left Moshe, or if he had tainas on Moshe, why didn't he curse Moshe? Why is he cursing Hashem? So he brings that it's because when they were fighting, one guy, the other guy, told the Isha Yisraeli, the non-curser, told the Mekalel, you know what happened to your dad? Your dad was killed by Moshe Rabbeinu. He said the Shema Meforash, and that's how he killed him. And that's when the Mekalel with Mevarechas Hashem. And finally, Rabbeinu B'chai asks, why is the Torah telling us this story? It would be better if we didn't know this story. What do we need to know this horrible story for? So he says, number one is to teach you that only a super Rasha like this guy who had the worst yichas in the world, his mother wasn't the greatest tzedekas, his father was certainly a Rasha, the Mitzri, only a super Rasha would do such a thing, be Mevarechas Hashem. And secondly, it's also to teach us that we learn from his klala how to properly lahavdil do a bracha. That he says, it says, Vayikuvas Hashem Vayikau, like he spelled out the Shem Hashem and cursed. So he said the same thing, lahavdil, when a person makes a bracha, they have to mentally spell out the Shem Hashem, think of the Shem Hashem and who you're making bracha to and the greatness of Hashem, and then say the bracha. And he says, remez to it, it says, Aramimcha Elokai, right? We say in Ashrei, Aramimcha Elokai Amelech, and then, Vavarach Hashimcha Le'olam Ve'ed, then I will bless you.